2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not joined up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code PODCAST. That gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. With that, you get access to our wonderful Slack chat, blazing saddles across the industry. We've got Boomers Ballers Cheat Sheet each day, updated projections, and the Domination Station, which struck gold once again last night. That's a beautiful tool right there. If you work a 9-to-5 and you can't really do research throughout the day, this does it all for you. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on that thing they call Twitter, at 14A.Walsh. And you can find my partner in crime, Keith Hall, over there at Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, 10 games on today's slate to take us into the weekend. What sorts of things are we looking out for tonight?
Maybe to me, stop bubbling freaking cues.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And I can't complain. I mean, they've been really good nights the last two nights. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm getting to that point where I'm
too hot to hurt someone.
Too hot to touch.
Okay.
And the problem is that I'm not quite to that point yet. You know, I finished third and fourth two nights ago in a queue, and then going into the final game of the night last night, I had five teams in the top 50. Had one of my teams was done, and that was the one that was holding the lead, granted by a slim margin, and I wasn't counting on that one. So I had four other shots, jockeyed back and forth into, you know, all the way into the fourth quarter most of the night, and game stacks got me at the end. So still a profitable night, but I would really like to not bubble a cue.
Yeah, you gotta get in there. I just missed the cash line last night on pretty much everything, so thank you all to contributed to that mental headache that I had there. On today's slate, you know, 10 games, so not much time for that chitter-chatter. We got a lot of things to do throughout the day. Let's just get right into it. We'll start off in the nation's capital with the Weezers, 5-point favorites over the Toronto Raptors, who they just faced earlier this week. We got a total of 209 in this one. Teams have split the season series. Both teams have won on each other's court. 10-point win in Washington for the Raptors. 9-point win this week for the Wizards in Toronto. Kyle Lowry, of course, is out with the wrist injury. And then we got Trey Burke questionable for some personal issues in this one. What are we looking at in this matchup here?
This one's a little tough to kind of read. And the reason I say that is this is one of those home and home type things. They just played two nights ago. It was everything that we thought it was going to be, and then it was all of a sudden gone. I mean, John Wall's price has actually come down on DraftKings. He's below 10K again. I'm still not playing John Wall. Toronto has looked not like a top four seed since Kyle Lowry went down. I don't like that. This feels like the ultimate Markieff Morris day. I mean, obviously, DeMar DeRozan, he's 9,900. There's not a lot to really like in this game. I think it's going to be a better basketball game than it is a fantasy point game, and I think a lot of people are going to try to squeeze something out of this game, and I'm probably perfectly fine with fading it on a 10-game slate tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there are a couple spots you can attack. I mean, we mentioned it the day that these teams played last, and sure enough, Serge Ibaka popped off with a nice performance. We know power forwards against the Wizards are money. A lot of people still might have that issue with Serge from against the Knicks. Once again, I do not understand why he was so highly owned that day, but he was. And again, I think you can attack the Wizards with power forward. So Ibaka's in play here. I think DeRozan pretty much anytime without Kyle Lowry is in play. Now, if you want to, jockey all the way up to pay that kind of steep price tag that you're going to get him at, that's another story. But, I guess the same can be said about, DeRozan and Ibaka. They're both in good spots here, but it's just a matter of do you want to pay up to get there? That of course, is the question. John Wall has come under 10K on FanDuel, be it one notch at 9,900, but you're right. Still another spot that you really can't go there yet. However, we talked about this again the last time that these two teams played, and Corey Joseph, I'm sure not much has changed, but fourth worst in terms of defensive real plus minus in the NBA. So if you do go at the spot, that's the way I would go. And then I can't forget Bojan Bogdanovic, been crushing it off the bench for the Wizards. So you are all welcome, Washington, for taking my man.
Yeah, it's been a very, very weird day for it was a very weird game for Bojan. He couldn't miss in the first half, and then it was like I have to go look, and I'm in the process of pulling up to see exactly like what the deal was in the second half, but it was like he basically disappeared.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever feel like this could be a reason for people blasting off in the first half and then not necessarily in the second half? Because, let's say a team is up by 10 points, 7 minutes to go left in the second half. They're not necessarily trying to, just come down the court ripping and roaring shots. They're going to waste some clock, during each possession, try to run it down to five or whatever it may be.
You mean maybe conservative?
Just take their time more with these possessions. So, yes, conservative is the word I would use. Way to go. The teacher is – or the student is becoming the teacher. But yeah, I mean, do you think that has to have something to do with it?
Yeah, I mean – It's one of those things like you're sitting there wondering what the heck is going on, and then all of a sudden, your guy just stops scoring. And like if we look at his second half, he played a 5-minute stint at the end of the third quarter, and then a 10-minute, so he played 15 minutes in the second half. But the problem was, he did make some points in the second half. Okay. Well, he took two shots in the fourth quarter and four shots. So he took six shots in the second half compared to the – okay. It was kind of split up. Oh, wait. No, you're right. He was split up. He just had such a great second quarter that it seemed like he slowed down quite a bit. I mean, he had 16 points in the second quarter alone. But yeah. He finished with 27, so he still had 11 points in the second half. It just it felt like he did everything in the first half in that game. And it was surprising because Damari Carroll and PJ Tucker are actually pretty decent defenders. So that's very, very, very surprising. What is our old pal, Mr. Kojo, He's 5,000 on FanDuel. He is 52 on DraftKings. I mean, I think for cash games, I think for cash games, he's an okay value play if you need to go there. But I don't know. This seems like it's a troll game to me. Like that's kind of the feeling that I have. Like I think people are going to chase Bojan, and I think these home and home without any games in between are always really weird. Like whatever happened the first game usually doesn't happen the second game. That's what it feels like, you know?
No, I got you. Look, I mean, we talked about this last time too. This is going to be a recurring theme throughout this game. Thank God it's almost over. But we've seen Joseph. We've seen his ceiling pretty much be that 25, 26, even 27 sort of level there. So yeah, we're barely getting above his salary based expectations. Yeah, and you know why? Because he played the Nets. Both of those games that he went nuts, he played the Nets.
Oh, was that one?
So.
I didn't look at the opponent, but I do remember that we've seen him put up 40 before.
Yeah, and he did it like twice in a week, which makes it even worse. So.
Look, since coming over to the Washington Wizards, I mean, Bojan has been a fantastic play. I'm trying to figure out how many average shots he's taking, and my sights have kind of rearranged some things, so I'm trying to get into that again. So, but I want to say he's taken on average like 12 shots, and coming off the bench, we talk about it all the time, you know, with the usage and everything like that. It's been kind of nice to kind of see exactly how they're using him, because make no mistake about it, they needed some help off the bench.
Yes, indeed. All right, that'll do it for that one. Let's move on to next one here. Little up I-95 there to Philly, where we got the Knicks 1.5 point favorites against the 76ers in this one, over under 218. Teams have
Hello?
You there?
Yeah, okay.
Hello?
Sorry. You're gonna have to say that all over again because you cut out really bad.
Great. Alright, the power of editing. Alright. In this one, the Knicks, 1.5 point favorites at the Philadelphia 76ers with a total of 218.5. Teams have split the season series. Both teams won on each other's home court by 1 point. Well, no, both teams have won on their home court by 1 point. Knicks 8-2 against the Sixers in their last 10 meetings, with the Knicks only covering 5 of those 10. For the Knicks, two injury notes here. We got Willie Hernangómez, who's questionable with the ankle injury, and then Maurice Noir, also questionable with the ankle injury. For the Sixers, Gerald Henderson has been ruled out already. I didn't get a reason as to why, but he'll be out the next two games. And then, of course, Joel Embiid out for the rest of the season. Where are we looking in this one?
I've already seen it a little bit in Slack today. And yeah. It's one of the things. In fact, it's so important that we remember this, that it's one of our commandments. Thou shalt capitalize on the power of recency bias, according to the field. That said, we all know who I'm talking about.
Richon?
No, Kyle O'Quinn, brother. Kyle mother freaking O'Quinn. Look, he's averaging 19.
I really wanted to talk about Richon, but okay. Okay.
Well, let's talk about the Knicks first, and then we'll talk about the 76ers. Because make no mistake about it, the 76ers are – I think the 76ers actually won this game tonight.
Well, I mean, if the trend goes, they should win by one. That's the whole trend in the series.
Yeah, I know. You know, we've got in the last three games, Kyle Quinn's averaging 19 minutes. Okay, he's taking 5 shots, but he's averaging 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and only one turnover. He's averaging 26.37 fantasy points per game in the last three games. Okay. And that's pretty much since the All-Star break. Here's the funny thing about it, is with how chalky he was the other night, who's going to go back to him?
Oh, there may be a select few, but not many.
I think it's a great spot to go back to him because I think he is an absolute, I don't want to say lock, but I really do think he's a great play today in tournaments. So, I mean, I've already Go ahead. I've already seen it in Slack that people aren't going back to him because of what happened the other night. So, and this is just and these are guys that we teach, and we teach these principles to. So I know that if, you know, after we are doing it and we're telling people, and they still don't want to do it, I know that the rest of the DFS communities think the same thing.
Well, they should probably listen up because in two appearances against the Sixers this season, O'Quinn has gone for 35.5 FanDuel points and 36.5 FanDuel points. So that'll be very interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, these guys just took each other on last weekend. You know, so again, if Fernan Gomez is out now. The issue with what happened against the Magic was that, you know, O'Quinn was slated to start the entire day, but Aaron Gordon being ruled in for the Magic in that one, that changed how the Knicks went about their starting lineup. That's where they threw Lance Thomas out there to go up against Gordon there. So yeah, I like him in this spot. You know, the minutes aren't really, I mean, both times that he's done this against the Sixers, he's played just under 25 minutes. So I guess that's sort of another caveat that we got to look at. But you got to think if Hornacek, yeah, if I'm looking at these numbers here of O'Quinn doing so well against the Sixers, Hornacek's got to know the same thing. So I think a lot of this depends on what happens with Hernan Gomez tonight or his availability of what happens. So definitely keep that in mind.
Yep.
Kristaps Porzingis did a very good job at the five against the Magic the other night. So, you know, there's also the opportunity that they can go back to that. It's just a matter of paying attention to news throughout the day.
Yeah, I agree. And we've talked about it with Kyle Quinn. He's such a high fantasy point per minute guy that he doesn't really need, you know, 30 minutes in order to absolutely just smash his value. I mean, he can do it in 24, 23 minutes. So I like that. I also like Chris Stapps and, you know, Derrick Rose, who's still too cheap in my opinion, you know, with no Brandon Jennings there. So.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you know, Hornacek has come out and said already that Rose is going to be playing, you know, upwards of minutes in the mid-30s. And, you know, you just take a look at the roster and everything that they have to bring to the table, and of course he is. You know, Ron Baker, he does a decent job for the Knicks in the limited amount of minutes that he gets, so I don't think he's a threat at any time to take away any minutes from Rose. I mean, you take a look at what he's done since the All-Star break. We're talking about 32 minutes, 36, 40, 33, and his his point totals just keep, you know, incrementally rising with that. So he does a little bit of everything for the Knicks, which is pretty good, and that helps you out. Also, not turning the ball over that much, which is, you know, he has had three of the last two games, but, you know, that's not going to kill you on any given night.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, with the Knicks, I mean, Ron Baker's a rookie. He was an undrafted rookie out of Wichita State. For those of you that, you know, like watching the NCAA tournament, you know who Ron Baker is. So,
you just know him from that floppy hair, man.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things. He's a rookie. He's developing. You know, he's good every once in a while, but he's not an immediate threat to Derrick Rose right now.
All right, let's talk about these 76ers. You know, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, probably not going to have much resistance tonight. So I got these guys looking very good.
Yeah, the question I have is what kind of profit potential is there available for them? You know, we've seen them perform really, really well since the trade deadline, coming back from the All-Star break. I mean, especially Saric, besides that Golden State game where he had 20 minutes. Oh, sorry, that's TJ McConnell. I pulled up the wrong guy. Okay, so coming back from the All-Star break, Saric has played 33, 40, 35, and 28 minutes. The last game against Miami, we told you to kind of stay off of him. That was a tougher matchup against James Johnson, who we'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, it's kind of just one of those things that you can go back to. I'm interested to see kind of how they work it, because it's going to be very interesting. It's going to depend on what the Knicks do. I want to try to fade him at 7,300. I mean, he's in play. He's not, obviously not the value that he once was. But if he can get us 40, then that's going to do more than pay off his salary, which is, you know, definitely a possibility. That's what he hit last time that they played. It was a week ago. So, but, I mean, Rashawn Holmes, still 4,600. He's playing 26 to 28 minutes a game. He's, Joel Embiid's out. As long as Jahlil Okafor does Jahlil Okafor things, then Rashawn Holmes is going to be in play. So,
yeah, and I don't know if anybody remembers back to last week, but you know, this was the day after. Oh man, what the hell was it? I believe it was the game after Rashawn Holmes went absolutely bananas against the Warriors, I believe, and then their next game,
Wizards.
That was the one against the Knicks. Okay, all right, yeah. So then the next game was against the Knicks, and that's the one where Okafor went nuts, and mm-hmm. you know, Holmes didn't do that well. Well, this is the only game that Holmes really got into foul trouble, so you know, that's what held him back. Yes, so you know, just remember that when thinking about it tonight. Holmes has done well in every situation. I know that this one game against the Knicks was kind of the one misnomer, but it was because he got into foul trouble as soon as he got in the game, and you know, everything just went to Okafor from that point, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think he picked up, when he checked in, it was 2,090 seconds, and he was out really quick. So it's, you know, Willie's doubtful tonight. It's going to depend on what starting rotation that the Knicks roll out there. I like O'Quinn no matter what. I like Holmes no matter what. Robert Covington, what are we going to do with you today, brother?
I like it. Can you afford it, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, these guys aren't cheap anymore. I might try to... I'll have a little bit of exposure to him, but I might try to squeeze TJ McConnell in just to try to get some exposure to them without having to pay that salary. The problem is that they can both create kind of well. That's a very, very, very bad situation that could leave TJ McConnell the odd man out. I don't know what I'm going to do with him yet. He's 54 and 5,200 on each site. There's not a lot of profit potential there. I think I would probably prefer Corey Joseph over him. But that mid-range for point guard around the 5,000 mark is not pretty tonight. Mm-mm. So the sites have done a very good job about tightening up their pricing, especially DraftKings, where there's not a ton of profit potential in that mid range, that $5,000 to $6,000 range, unless somebody just decides to go completely berserk. The only guy that I can think of, other than another guy that we'll talk about here in a little bit, is Derrick Rose. And he's at the top of that list at 6,000. So,
Oh, I know who you speak of. Let's just get right to him because I'm excited to talk about it too. Miami Heat at the Orlando Magic. Heat 3.5-point favorites in this one. Over under is set for 208. Magic lead the season series 2-1. A lot of points scored between these two teams the three times that they met. So keep that in mind. Magic are 7-4. Against the Heat in their last 11 meetings, although against the spread, only 4-6-1 in that span. Seven of the last 11 Heat Magic games have gone over the total. Also, something to note here, Magic 9-20-1 against the spread at home this season. That is disgusting. Also, what I should mention here in this, the Battle of the Sunshine State, all three teams have won on the road in this matchup. So, Heat on the road tonight. Keep that in mind. In terms of injuries, we've got all four of these guys are questionable. Sam Whiteside, Deion Waiters, Willie Reed, and Roddy Magruder, all questionable for various reasons. Jody Meeks is out, was still with the thumb surgery, but CJ Watson is available to play tonight. This is his first game in a while, coming back off the Achilles injury.
Was that confirmed?
Yeah, I saw that. That was a Roto-Grinders update to the cellular telephone.
Okay, because last time I saw was he was still questionable but leaning towards probable. So,
gotcha. I know we're going to get to the Heat here, but I want to bring up the fact that Nikola Vucevic always dominates the Miami Heat, especially this season. He's done no less than 41 FanDuel points against them, double-double in every single game with the rebounds being very strong in each. The peripherals, you get one or the other with them in this matchup. Like one game, he had three steals, no blocks. No steals, two blocks. Two steals, no blocks. So if he can get those up, that would really put his point total up over the top. But we shall see. And again, if Hassan Whiteside and Willie Reed are going to be out for this one, I think I found my center.
Yeah, I kind of would like Hassan Whiteside to play because if the Heat decide to try to go small to match up and they put James Johnson on Vucevic, that's not something that I want to really pick on. I would rather, James Johnson play the four and have to deal with Aaron Gordon. I think it's just a tougher matchup. Now, I'm not saying that Vooch couldn't, still have a good game, but when we're talking about 7,200 on FanDuel and DraftKings, he's kind of somebody that I would. It's harder for him to pay off his salary, and we know Hassan Whiteside's not as good of a defender. He's quote unquote sick. Willie Reed, we just got word, has participated in shoot around today. So it's I'm not afraid of really Willie Reed, but I am afraid of James Johnson. Afraid might not be a good word. I'm weary. So I'm a little bit more apt to go there. So I think that's the way I'm leaning as of right now. And that could obviously all change, not only based on injury news, but based on, the later research that happens.
All right. Also, too, for the Magic, Evan Fournier continues to play a ridiculous amount of minutes. So, I believe he's still pretty cheap. I haven't really looked at his price, but let's do it right now. But yeah, 5,300 for a guy that's going to be playing nearly 40 minutes. That's always something that I will take advantage of. And then, don't forget, you got Terrence Ross also in the mix over there as well.
Yeah. Go ahead. Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross.
He didn't really get his shots the other night.
No, he shot.
Well, from what I saw, he played 37 minutes, but
he was shooting.
I watched the first half and he hardly got me.
Yeah, he hadn't taken a lot of shots the first half and he was shooting more the second half. The problem was that Fournier was playing a little bit better. and that really kind of hurt him. It's going to be one or the other with these two going forward. And that's just kind of the way that we've got to deal with it. The other issue is that he kind of got a little bit of foul trouble in the first half, and they stopped looking his way. So I don't mind going back there tonight, because Aaron, especially if Aaron Gordon is going to see the James Johnson defense, it's all going to depend on who kind of starts for these guys. And that's going to depend on, obviously, Hassan Whiteside and Willie Reed, for that matter. Because I could see them throwing out Willie Reed, James Johnson, Rodney Magruder, or Udonis Haslem, or whoever, and then, you know, the guard situation is always fun, and we'll get to that. But, you know, it kind of just depends. I do think that Elfrid Payton is a little sneaky. He is averaging, he is averaging right around 32 fantasy points per game against the Heat this season. He's gone off for 28.3, 36.4, and 32, while averaging around 34 minutes a game. So he's 5,500. He's a tournament play only. Always is. And he hasn't played a lot of, you know, minutes against, or, you know, since coming out of the All-Star break, it leans more towards the 20 mark than the 30 mark. But they really go based on who's hot at the point guard position. If Elfrid is hot, they're going to ride him for about 30 minutes. If he's not, then he's going to receive close to 20. And they're going to split the time with him and DJ Augustine. And you're going to see, you know, Evan Fournier kind of, and Terrence Ross kind of take over a little bit of the ball handling. But I think he's a tournament option. So he's worth a mention.
Sure. All right, let's talk about the Heat side of things. Obviously, with all these guys, you know, listed as questionable, you know, a lot of the news will have to come up with that. But I think regardless of what happens, I think we're all on board with Tyler Johnson. He's just providing so much safety for us more often than not. And it's kind of ridiculous to go to Goran Dragic at this point, especially when Tyler Johnson's basically doing the same thing, but for like $2,000 cheaper.
Yeah, I do like Goran Dragic, too. I like him more if Deion Waiters is out, obviously. I think Tyler Johnson's in play no matter what. But the big pivot, if Deion Waiters is out, that I'm going to go to is probably going to be Josh Richardson. He's going to start seeing more minutes, more usage with that second team. And that's probably where I'm going to go if Deion Waiters is out. Now, obviously, if Deion Waiters is in, then, you know, throw everything that I just said out the window and just play Tyler Johnson. He's probably my favorite point guard between $5,000 and $6,000, on both sides, to be completely honest.
Remember we talked about this a lot too. James Johnson without Deion Waiters actually sees a lot more shot attempts, just gets a lot more involved in the offense. So yeah, I think when he's involved in the offense, it just kind of trickles down to the rest of his game. So that's the big movement for me. If no Deion Waiters, then I'm locking and loading James Johnson.
Yep, I like that move as well.
Especially, too, if he's going to be getting minutes with the starters and he goes up against Aaron Gordon. Good night, Sally. Good night.
Or Vucevic, for that matter.
Yep, either one.
So.
All right. Jax the dog is snoring. He needs to stop. All right. Next one we got on the docket here. Let's go all the way down to Cleveland Cavs at -3 over the Atlanta – or at the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Over-under set for 214. Hawks actually won the only meeting in this series. That was a 4-point win in Cleveland. Cavs are 12-4 against the Hawks in their last 16 meetings and have covered 10 of those games. Also, 10 of these last 16 Cavs-Hawks games have gone over the total. Cleveland 8-17-2 against the spread on the road this season, and the Hawks are actually 11-6 against the spread as an underdog. Injury news, I believe Andrew Bogut, we're not sure. I wrote something down. I'm not even going to say what it is. But the coach's decision since he just got signed, so we have no idea if he's going to play. Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, of course, both out. And then Mike Dunleavy going to be out for the Hawks with the ankle injury. So what are we looking at here?
Kyrie. And probably some more Kyrie. I mean, LeBron James is always in play. 10-8, though. I mean, that's a little tough to play. Kyrie, honestly, against Boston, he had a bad game. He had a bad first half. Let me put it that way. He had
two early fouls.
Yeah, he had a great first half or second half. But he had a bad first half, and he kind of salvaged his day. I don't mind going to Kyrie at 9,000. We've been attacking the Atlanta point guard situation, pretty much most of the year. The problem I have and the worry I have is Atlanta's ability to just absolutely no show at times. And you think they would be up for this game, you know, against the Cleveland Cavaliers and, you know, just there's just times where they just go. Pfft. So that's the only issue I'm having right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. But, you know, look, Cavs are only a 3-point favorite here. I haven't taken a look at money line. They didn't have any money lines up last night when I did all my research. So
the Cavs are only a minus pre-game 46.
Oh, my goodness. It's all going downhill now. Yeah, I mean, you know, you take a look at that money line. That is not good for a Cavs team. So I could certainly see something being viable there. So if that is the case, now, you know, if we're looking at this based on the starting lineup matchup, you would think, all right, Paul Millsap's got, you know, the matchup there with Channing Frye. I would expect LeBron to be on Millsap, so I don't know if I like that matchup as much. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, aside from the point guards in this game, this one might just be a total wash altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we're good with that then. Milwaukee Bucks will host the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. Clippers 4.5-point favorites after this one opened up at 2.5 for them. Minus 180 on the money line, a total of 216 it originally was, and then has dropped all the way down now to 211.5. Very surprising there. Let's take a look at some of these injuries. Of course, Michael Beasley out, Jabari Parker going to be out. Terrence Jones actually just signed with the Bucks, so that's a huge pickup for them. And then no injuries whatsoever for the Clippers. Teams also haven't met this season, so a lot of the unknown, but what should we be looking for in particular?
On the Milwaukee side, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's the only – because who's going to guard him? Blake Griffin? Chris Paul?
Maybe they put Chris Paul on him.
Okay.
I mean, he's done it against Kevin Durant with success before.
I understand that, but I mean, yeah, I can see that, but I'm not as Kevin Durant can be mentally handicapped at times. And I'm not saying that as a disgruntled OKC fan. I'm just saying, like,
are you sure?
No, I'm serious.
That's a strong take on that.
He gets into his own head at times. Like, great player, yes, top five player in the NBA, no doubt. But like, there are times where he just gets into his own head. I don't see that from Giannis. I'm more worried about Jason Kidd just absolutely just throwing us the middle finger. Like, when we talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, that's usually the thing that we have to worry about, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just so... Jesus. How you... Okay. Look, I've ran this so many times. But how you have a guy that is almost 1.5 fantasy points per minute, barely playing when you're getting your butt stomped And then he comes in, and you guys all of a sudden make a comeback. And, yeah. How that happens with Greg Monroe, I have zero idea. So, okay. I mean...
I have no idea where you're going from there, but let's just hope that
rotations suck when it comes to Greg Monroe. I mean, Greg Monroe played 22 minutes against Denver the other day. He had 11 points and 14 rebounds.
I got you. Now, hopefully we don't see the Clippers run the same defense out there that they did against the Rockets, because my God, like, they had DeAndre Jordan on James Harden at times, which was kind of laughable. But I saw what they were trying to do, trying to get the ball out of Harden's hands. But, yeah, that did not work so well for them.
Yeah, the Rockets did a really good job of, when they were coming down the court, you know, getting the switch right off the bat and not letting DeAndre get back into the paint a little bit. I want to think that Doc Rivers is going to fix that. But I can't be for sure.
Fix it.
I don't think that the Clippers, you know, because they're not going to roll Luke Richard and Mbamute out there for a long time. They just haven't been doing it. He's one of the better defenders, but he's not playing enough minutes for us to really worry about it. You know, I mean, the Clippers are really, really, really just... they're kind of a mess. They started out that game so well against Houston, and then all of a sudden it was just, I mean.
Hoop fest.
Exactly. I mean, we know that we're going to get big minutes from the four, from Redick, from Blake, from Paul and Jordan. That's probably where I'm going to be keeping the most of my exposure. I really do like Chris Paul tonight. I think he's going to be a sneaky play because I think everybody's going to go to Kyrie. I would prefer DeAndre Jordan over Blake Griffin just because I think that Giannis is going to be on Blake. Now, that doesn't mean that Blake's not a good tournament play because he's going to be lower owned because everybody's going to know that. And he kind of screwed everybody the other night. And, you know, with these upper echelon of players, I have no problems going to them in tougher matchups. Definitely not in cash games, but in tournaments, you know, there's a little bit of exposure that's going to be needed there. I also really like Austin Rivers.
Ew.
He's playing 25 minutes a game. He scored 16. He's getting right there around 25 to 30 fantasy points a game. He's not sexy anymore, but I mean, in four out of the last five, well, let's just say since coming out of the All-Star break, he's at 25, 27, and 30, and he's still playing big minutes. The only game that he struggled in was that Charlotte game where I think he got into foul trouble, and couldn't stay in front of Kemba Walker. So, I think he's in play because they can run a three-guard rotation out there with their two bigs in Rivers, Paul, and Redick. You know, Rivers is going to run the point sometimes with the second unit, or they can run Felton out there. So Rivers is getting the bulk of the minutes off the bench for the Clippers. And we've seen this. I mean, Jamal Crawford, he only got 16 minutes last game. Raymond Felton only got 18 minutes last game. So I think that's probably where I'm going to go. If I was trying to save some money below 5,000 at point guard.
Very interesting. All right, let's get to the next one here. Probably a snooze fest, but we got to talk about it anyway. Memphis Grizzlies at the Dallas Mavericks. Grizzlies 2.5-point favorites here. Mavericks, over the Mavericks, I'm sorry, with a total of 190 in this one. Grizzlies won the only meeting this season. A real score fest. 80-64 was the final of that one. Six of the last nine Grizzlies Mavericks games have gone over the total. Not the one that I just mentioned, of course. But no injuries for the Grizzlies, and then for the Mavericks, Wesley Matthews and JJ Brea are out again. And what do you got here?
Mark Gasol.
Like it.
And that's pretty much about it. to be completely honest. I mean, I want to like Mike Conley, but not at 7,700 on FanDuel. I don't think this is a spot to go for it. Obviously, yes, playing big minutes and everything like that. But it's just, you know, Dallas is not a high, fast-paced team. You know, this is going to be – see, what did we have this total at again?
190.
You know, it's trending on the under, according to Vegas. I would not, and obviously you said the score, I wouldn't be shocked. I think this game was, what, 16 to 12 at the end of the first quarter, the last game? That sounds...
I do not know.
It was like abnormally low.
But you know what, though? This is also... I went back and looked at it. This was at the beginning of the season when the Mavericks were scoring. So they had that 64. They also had like a 72 around there. I think like an 86. Like they just were not even coming close to 100. But I mean, I do think that, you know, even a Harrison Barnes or a Seth Curry could be worth a low shot here. You know, both guys did very well against the Hawks. They kind of had not as low of a total, but you know, something around that ballpark. So I mean, yeah. Look, you've said multiple times you can attack the Grizzlies with wings, so I don't think it's a total fade, but if you're definitely looking for some lower ownership on a 10-game slate, that wouldn't be a bad way to go.
Yeah, I agree with the Harrison Barnes. The one thing I am scared of, he played the minutes, but the shot attempts were up a little bit, and that was, I think, a direct correlation of Dirk not taking as many shots. Now, Dirk still had a double-double. He's going to play around 28 to 29 minutes, and he's actually cheaper than what he was the other day. He's down to 5,600 on FanDuel. Don't mind going to Dirk here because I think they're going to have to put Jamichael Green on him a little bit more because Zach Randolph's more of a bigger body paint guy rather than stepping out towards the wing. And we know Dirk can do that. So if he's got that cotton candy sweet stroke going, then he could be an interesting tournament play at 5,600 as well. But my main target in this game is going to be is definitely going to be Marc Gasol because I think that he's just going to absolutely own Nerlens Noel tonight.
Sounds good to me. All right, another snooze fest. We got the Brooklyn Nets at the Utah Jazz. Jazz 14-point favorites in this one with a total of 206.5, which isn't too bad. We got a matchup of the fastest-paced team in the NBA against the slowest-paced team in the NBA. Jazz won the only meeting, a 12-point win in Brooklyn. Jazz 4-1 straight up and against the spread versus the Nets in their last five meetings. Keep in mind, four of the last five Jazz-Nets games have gone under the total. The Nets have no injuries, and the Jazz, they've already listed Rodney Hood out, so that could create a couple more minutes for some other people. But what's your main look at here?
Gordon Hayward.
Yep.
That's it. Like, seriously. And it's hard. And he's just tournament only because of his price. He's 8,000 on FanDuel. He is 76 on DraftKings. I like him better on DraftKings than I do on FanDuel. And it's because Rodney Hood's out and they're going against the Nets. That's the only reason. In the first quarter the other night, all of the players that were active for the Nets were on had seen court time. Every single one. You can't do that. Like you're playing Russian roulette. Well, I mean, I guess you can, but you're playing Russian roulette. It's not something I want to try to figure out. Sorry.
Oh no.
I mean, we saw Caris LeVert was having a good game against the Kings the other night, and then all of a sudden they just pulled his ass. You know, we saw
a couple careless turnovers down the stretch.
Sean Kilpatrick sighting two games ago against Golden State and then Sacramento. He laid his egg. You know, Jeremy Lin has been back and oh my God, he's made it three games in a row. Sorry, four.
Don't you jinx it. Don't you dare.
Sorry, no, three games in a row. But he hasn't played. He hasn't played over 20 minutes. Now, granted, he played. He got used 27 fantasy points in 20 minutes. But it's Sacramento. It's a higher paced team. And look, the Jazz. They're in Utah. They play really good team defense. And it's got to be a different situation for me to attack the Jazz. It's Gordon Hayward. Like, I don't even like Rudy Gobert in this spot. Yes, he's going to get Brooke Lopez, but I just don't think that they're going to need to go absolutely completely bonkers. And I don't think there's going to be enough possessions in order for me to get the value out of Rudy Gobert unless he has like 5 or 6 block shots, which is not something you can count on.
Yeah, you already talked about it. I mean, the Nets just – they're running out like hockey lawn changes basically. So, you know, you really can't do anything with that. The only guy – I mean, if you want to go for a low, low sort of dollar long shot in this one, maybe Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, he's still pretty cheap there, 4,200. He did have his worst game in a while there against the Grizzlies – I'm sorry, against the Kings in that one. But, yeah, he's been paying off pretty good, maybe like – 6x, 7x value in some of his recent games. So that could be an interesting way to go. I mean, he gets enough minutes to at least get a crack at it. But, will he? Who the hell knows? This is a really bad matchup for the Nets.
I'm as contrarian as they come. Hayward play. But I can't do it.
No, I wouldn't expect you to. It's a ridiculous proposition. But yeah, Gordon Hayward probably, and then maybe George Hill. I mean, if you really need to get crazy,
thinking about that because I was pulling up some numbers here, and usually George Hill, after he has a shitty couple of games, he usually kind of, kicks it back into gear. He's 6,000, yes, but. After playing 26 minutes against the Clippers earlier in the month and he had an 8, he came back with 31 and had a 28. Then he went on a nice little 4-game stretch. After putting up a 13 against Dallas, he came back against his old team in Indiana and put up a 45. I could see George Hill making his way into some tournament lineups of mine.
All right, so there's going to be no Rodney Hood. That could even put maybe a Joe Ingles, Alec Burks, maybe Joe Johnson in there as a deep tourney flyer. But, again, you're risking a lot going that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we spent way more time than we should have on a Nets-Jazz game. But let's talk about this one. This should be a good one. The OKC Thunder at the Phoenix Suns. Thunder, 3.5-point favorites with the over-under at 225 in this one. Both teams actually played last night. Thunder have won both meetings in this series, a 3-point win in OKC and then a 13-point win in OKC. Thunder 8-1 against the Suns in their last 9 meetings, with the Thunder covering 5 of those. 6 of the last 9 Suns-Thunder games have gone over the total. OKC pretty good against the spread stats in tonight's situation. They are 24 and 12 against the spread as a favorite, and then 20 and 9 against the spread versus teams with a losing record this season. Victor Oladipo did not even travel with the team for last night's game, so he won't be with them tonight as well. And then, again, you got Dragan Bender out for the Phoenix Suns. Russell Westbrook's been pretty good against the Suns this season. I'm just going to drop these numbers out here for you. 73.2 and 80.6. The 73.2, by the way, came in 34 minutes. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about somebody else because we don't need to talk about Russell Westbrook. I mean,
fair enough.
The one thing I do want to point out is it's 3 and 4 back in the back to back, with some travel incorporated in there. But also keep in mind that the Oklahoma City Thunder, every game means a ton to them, especially after losing last night. Yeah. They are very – they we talked about it earlier in the show. I mean, there's literally, 2 or 3 games that are, separating the 4 through 7 seeds in the West. And with, you know, with Utah getting Brooklyn, and let's see, the Clippers are, and Memphis getting Dallas. I mean, there's the Thunder need to win. Make no mistake about it. And I'm one of the things that we're going to be doing, you know, down the stretch is targeting teams that have something to play for, so we can kind of try to predict the rotations a little bit more. I love the Thunder tonight. I mean, newsflash, hot flash against Phoenix. I love anybody. Did I just say hot flash? Wow.
You did.
But I'm really, really, really interested to see kind of what Phoenix doesn't have anything like. They don't have like a unprotected pick or a protected pick that, you know, if they don't get a certain spot that they, you know, have to give away or anything. So like they should be tanking in theory, but like I guess they've got a top three pick coming to them, possibly. I just saw
and they
that.
Got Miami's pick coming.
Yeah, and Miami's pick. I just saw that.
That's how you get Goran Dragic.
Mm-hmm. That's worked out really well for him. And the reason I'm debating is there's going to be a lot of, I mean, there's two teams on the back end of back-to-backs in 3 and 4, and they're in this game. So there's not going to be a lot of defense played in this game. Obviously, this is going to be a very, very popular game stack situation. You've got to kind of think about it in terms of, you know, how do you want to attack it? For me, I'm not too sure yet how I want to attack it.
All right. You know, when we take a look at, you know, some of these other guys, I mean, look, T.J. Warren keeps putting up good points, gets a lot of minutes. However, going to draw Andre Robertson tonight, so that is something to watch out for. Devin Booker put up a decent performance last game. He's something to look at. Eric Bledsoe is going to have, you know, a nice back and forth with Russell Westbrook tonight. So, you know, those are all decent options. You know, we know OKC gets a lot of points scored on him inside the paint. Yusuf Nurkic had a pretty big night last night. So if we can figure out this whole Alex Lynn, Alan Williams thing, I think we'd be a lot better off for it, but I'm not sure that we will.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. That's very frustrating. Alan Williams has played, you know, relatively well when he's gotten the chance. 24 minutes last night, 33.4 fantasy points. I think he's going to be pretty popular tonight. Even though he is 4,900, it's worth the thought of a tournament fade. You know, Steven Adams, he kind of had a bad night last night. And it wasn't anything due to, like, some stupid fouls. That was a lot of the problem. You know, you can go back to Enes Kanter in this situation. He's going to play the 4 and the 5. You know, you can go to Taj Gibson in this situation, who's going to play the 3 and the 4. You know, normally when we've talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder, we've talked about, you know, Russell Westbrook and everybody else, and then, you know, maybe Steven Adams and some Enes Kanter. Now we legit have, you know, Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, Andre Robertson is, you know, still playing quite well. Maybe not to the way he was earlier in the month, earlier last month, but he's still playing pretty well. He's still a lockdown defender, but you've got Doug McDermott there. Don't mind going back to Alex Abrines. I think he's definitely going to be low owned after he was pretty popular last night and kind of screwed everybody. And it was nothing more than foul trouble. I mean, he came into the last part of the game and, you know, put up 11 fantasy points pretty quick. Only played 10 minutes last night, but like I said, it was all due to foul trouble. He had two fouls in the first 2.5 minutes. if it was even that long at the beginning of the game, and then like literally 10 seconds into the second half, he picked up his third. So that's kind of how his night was and how his night went. So I don't mind it in a deeper tournament, but it's definitely going to be something that I'm going to have to think about.
All right, let's get to the next one here. Two games left. San Antonio Spurs at the New Orleans Pelicans. Spurs, 6.5-point favorites here, minus 260 on the money line with the 206.5 total. We're looking at injuries in this one. Why am I not here? The only one, Omer Asik, out with the illness for the Pelicans. Nothing on the side of the Spurs. Remember, DeMarcus Cousins will be back for this one with the Pelicans. Spurs lead the season series here. They've won two of the three games here. But what's interesting, the Pelicans have covered 8 of their last 11 matchups with the Spurs. Spurs 20-11-1 against the spread on the road too. So, given all that information, where are we looking?
I'm tempted to go to Boogie in this situation.
All right.
He's 9,900 on FanDuel. He is a robust, 9,200 on DraftKings. I'm probably going to have some exposure to both Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins on DraftKings because they, since they're playing the Spurs, they've kind of, you know, dropped them. Obviously, they've priced them down. I might even have some Drew Holiday considering he's only 6,900 on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, I like DeMarcus Cousins. I think he comes out and just has his way, with the combination of Dwayne Dedmon and, Pau Gasol. And this is more of a Boogie type game where it's a slower paced, you know, game. And I think that's the way that I'm going to start trying to attack it is, you know, a faster paced game. Boogie'd still probably be in play, but I lean more towards Davis. The only reason that they're both in play for me on DraftKings is because of their price.
Yeah. Boogie. Now granted he's done this with his own team, this season against the Spurs, but, 54.4 in one game and 58.2, these FanDuel points against the Spurs. That, I mean, enough for the FanDuel points here. The one matchup against the Spurs, 37.16 rebounds. The second one, 26.17 rebounds. I mean, not many peripherals are going into that either. So yeah, he can certainly do this. And now you get him at a much reduced price. I'm on board with that myself.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard's in play on the other side. He's about the only Spur I really have any interest in. That paint's going to be log jammed. And that's... I would not touch Drew Holiday on FanDuel. I was watching the OKC game, and I went back and I watched the first couple games with both Boogie and Brow on the court. With both of them in the paint and trying to run like the high pick and roll screens, and with Boogie down on the low block and stuff like that, there's no room for Drew Holiday to work in the paint. Like, if you think back to, or if you've never watched Holiday play, but you've watched Russell Westbrook, they both rely on a lot of high screens with pick and rolls, and then they'll drive to the hoop. The jump shot is kind of a secondary part to their game. If it's on, then they can get hot, but you know, they predicate themselves on driving, which is what a lot of point guards do in today's NBA, but with both Boogie and Brow down there, there's no room for him to operate. So now it relies all on whether or not his jump shot is going to hit. And I'm not willing to take that bet against the Spurs.
As a Southerner once told me, I can't tell the story because, you know, we're a G-rated podcast here, but He's like trying to fit a quarter in a dime slot.
So. Yep, exactly.
So well, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, it's the big man for New Orleans and Kawhi for me on San Antonio.
You all can use your imaginations on what that story was about. All right. That's all I could really think about with the Spurs Kawhi in this one. But I don't know. If you want to get crazy, Aldridge Gasol, don't get crazy. You got plenty of good options to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, last game of the night. Nice midnight hammer here, late night hammer here for the people. The Boston Celtics at the Los Angeles Lakers at Staples Center. Celtics, 8-point favorites here, -365 on the money line with a total of 220 in this one. A lot of favoritism for the Celtics here.
As there should be.
Yes, indeed. In terms of injuries, just a couple questionables. Gerald Green questionable with the heel injury, and then Thomas Robinson with the illness. Celtics won the only meeting this season, a very close 6-point game in Boston for that one. Lakers have covered 4 of their last 5 against the Celtics, but Celtics have won 4 of those outright. Celtics 19-10 against the spread on the road this season, so keep that in mind. D'Angelo Russell, I mean, we've been talking about Lakers maybe tanking here and not being too sure about what we're going to get from him, but he's done pretty well here over the last 4 games.
Yeah, he has. It's been a shock. They have still found ways to lose and run some of these guys out there for more than 30 minutes, which, you know, kudos to Luke Walton. That's what he's being paid to do right now. You know, it was kind of one of those things that I'm always skeptical of. I'd never enjoy targeting the Lakers right now because of the fact that they are, you know, obviously tanking. They have to get a top 3 pick in order to for this Lou Williams trade to actually pay dividends this year. So there's definitely some things that you have to pay attention to. D'Angelo Russell, last 3 games, 36, 29, 36 minutes. I don't mind rolling him out there at all, especially against, you know, the best matchup in the NBA. Also don't mind running Jordan Clarkson out there a little bit. He's gotten 34, Whoa. 27, and 29 minutes in the last 3 games as well. And so I think he's going to be a sneaky play in tournaments tonight. I'm not on Nick Young. There was a tweet I either saw last night or this morning, I can't remember, that said Nick Young hasn't had an assist since Valentine's Day.
Heyo.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was funny too. I think Julius Randle's going to be chalk, especially after the 63 he dropped the other night.
Hell happened there, man?
Dude, he just did everything. He literally just did everything. 23 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists. It was funny because I was listening to the Lakers radio broadcast, and they, 2 seconds into the third quarter, they go, Julius Randle's on triple-double watch. And he was at, 11, 7, and 3. Or 7-4, something like that. It was something like ridiculous. I'm like, really? Triple double watch already? but he also had three steals and only 1 turnover. I don't see this happening again. Now, something to remember is if you look at the game logs, you're going to notice that Larry Nance put up a 42 against Boston the last game out. Keep in mind, Julius Randle did not play that game. Okay, that was the game after he came back. He was sick because if you remember, he played against Washington and everybody loaded up on him, even though he was sick, and he played 6 minutes and then missed the next game and then finally came back against New York. I think Julius Randle is going to be chalk, and I am firmly, okay, maybe softly off of Julius Randle tonight.
yeah, you saw that 63 in your mind, like, firmly, I'm going to come off of that.
Well, I say that because on Fridays, I don't script. I make a limited amount of teams because, you know, I'm running all over the place and stuff like that. So I'm not going to script this slate. So, I'm talking like one out of three teams on DraftKings. I might have him in. But I won't. I'll have more exposure to the guards and the Boston big men than I will Julius Randle.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know, the thing that furthers the discussion with Randle, because, you know, he's going up against the worst on-ball defender in the NBA. That works out well. Get a lefty-on-lefty thing going. But, yeah, again, you know, we take a look at the rest of this Boston team. I mean, I'm not sure what is the most appealing here, you know, when we're talking about from a dollar per point perspective. But Vegas has given us a little, you know, a little insight into the fact that Boston is so heavily favored in this one. Now, I wonder if that has a lot to do with they're trying to dupe the better since they beat the Cavs, you know, in that last game. And then, you know, it was interesting. I believe before that Cavs game, they had lost like 3 or 4 or 4 or 5. Very, very intriguing with this line, though, based on where they were at.
Yeah, it is intriguing. It's kind of a little scary. Like you said, dupe the better. Every once in a while, Vegas will throw out these lines that,
oh, yeah,
you know, that are almost too good to be true, to get everybody to hop on, you know, the side that they think is almost is a better shot of losing. Make no mistake about it. Vegas isn't dumb. That's how come they have so much money flowing through that city. So yeah, I mean, I could see this being a close game. Ultimately, I think that Boston does win, but as far as covering this line, I don't know if I'd see that. It's, you know, it's not a Utah Jazz Brooklyn Nets line, which is just astronomical.
Right. Well, we know it's going to happen there. Let's not get ridiculous.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets are going to
Because they just partied. They partied like it was New Year's after they got that last win.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I can see that. I can see the Lakers, you know, keeping it close until the latter parts of the fourth quarter.
Can we talk about the price on Al Horford?
I was hoping that you wouldn't, so he would fly under the radar.
Okay.
All right. But since you brought it up, yeah, Al Horford.
It's so big.
Al Horford is a robust 6K on FanDuel, and he is. $62 on DraftKings. So. By the way, Avery Bradley made his return last game. Don't go to him. They're going to ease him back in. They wanted him ready for the playoffs. They don't want him, you know, can think about that 22 to 25 minute mark. You know, that's one of those situations. Marcus Smart's 5,000. He still played 33 minutes. You know, you could probably go to him in a tournament as well.
Yes, indeed. One more I kind of forgot about. Brandon Ingram, he's still pretty cheap. This could be a good matchup against the Celtics tonight for him. So.
Is Jay Crowder?
Yeah, hey, he's gonna play. People are scared of Jay Crowder. I am not.
Scared of Jay Crowder when you're talking about targeting him with Brandon Ingram, who's going to play
–
who's averaging like less than a half a fantasy point per game most nights.
The price is appealing. Just saying.
I'm
not scared of Jay Crowder. I'm not scared of him.
I disagree, but you know, I think Jay Crowder.
Their own.
Yeah, exactly. I think Jay Crowder is going to absolutely just tear him a new
ass hole. All
right. I wasn't going to say
So much for that G-rated show.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. If you're not a member with us at DFSArmy.com, that joke should have definitely done it for you right there. But you can use the promo code podcast and get yourself 20% off each month. And that gives you 24/7 access to our Slack channel where you can chat with me, Keith, and all sorts of these other assholes who are involved in the chat as well. And then you get Boomer's Ballers cheat sheet. You get – updated projections and the domination station, which can help you throughout the day if you're working that 9 to 5 and you don't have time to do any sorts of research or anything of that nature. Just pop in what the domination station says and then pop into the Slack channel, and then maybe you can get some late tips or something like that. But once again, DFS Army promo code podcast is where you can get all of these great packages for a cheaper price than usual. Keith, anything big planned for the weekend? It is March now, after all.
Not really. Some baseball stuff, you know, just kind of hanging out around the house, enjoying some time before we have to start pulling double duty.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, here in Jersey, it's St. Paddy's Day season. So I believe we got the Hoboken Parade this weekend, possibly. I think the Belmars this week. I'm not sure.
I would have thought that would have been next weekend. So
now, you know, it's crazy. It's the whole month of March. I actually wrote I wrote like 5 short stories in my day, but I wrote one where, it's just a guy and his buddies go around to all these different parades throughout the month, because and it's called the Green March. So, if anybody wants a copy of that, you let my publisher know, and I'll be sending copies out. But it's pretty cool how the month of March here in Jersey just pops off pretty much every weekend. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's pretty. Sounds like a lot of fun.
So basically, what I was getting to there, no article on Sunday.
Quick way of doing that. So.
Yeah. All right, people. I'm out of here. And so is Heath. We'll see you Monday.
Yep. Peace out.